This is Mythical.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Just like the 1995 comedy classic Canadian Bacon starring John Candy, today we wage war with our incredibly polite Canadian neighbors. This is A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Ayer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And today we're excited to be joined by Renee Paquette. Renee's a renowned television host and commentator, celebrated for her star power with the WWE, host of her own podcast, Oral Sessions with Renee Paquette, and can even be spotted in a 2010 Kelly Clarkson music video. She's also an Ontario native and the author of a new cookbook, Messy in the Kitchen, which makes her the perfect guest for today's conversation. Renee, welcome to the pod.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to talk some food with you.
Hell yeah, let's do it. How do we do in the
so
intro? We ask our guests to rate the bio of them out of 10 just so we can get better at it.
Because
we're always looking to learn.
Yeah,
it's a new thing I'm doing.
It sounded good to me. I feel like you checked off most of the, you know, there's, I was also in a Tom Green music video.
Tom Green
really
made,
cool.
He made music?
Yeah. Check the OR. You like it so far? Yeah, this one was called Teachers Suck. And I can't I can't repeat the lyrics or I'll get kicked off the show.
Makes sense. Okay, so you are what I would say famously Canadian.
Yeah.
Is that an accurate
I would say so. I'm like proudly Canadian. I think all Canadians are like obnoxiously proud. Like I notice when I like text my mom something, she doesn't really care. She just responds with a Canadian flag for some reason. It's like so weird. But I do think there's like a real sense of patriotic proudness that comes from being a Canadian.
I feel like it's a nicer sense of patriotism than we have in America, too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I don't know, maybe it's patronizing for me to say as an American to a Canadian, but it seems almost like quaint. Like, I hear the Canadian national anthem, and I don't mean to start this with combative, but I hear that, and I'm like, oh, that's adorable.
It's a nice anthem?
Yeah.
It is a sweet anthem. You know it is a nice anthem. Yeah, it's nice because, you know, we start off in English, and then it deviates into French, and then we circle back around to the English, so, like, everybody's covered and taken care of. I became an American in March. I don't think I know the lyrics to the anthem yet. I should probably
Our anthem, yeah. To the American anthem.
Yeah.
Man.
You'll get there eventually.
I'll get there.
It's at every school.
I mean,
game.
When you're not in elementary school, when do you have to stand up to sing it, right? Like, I'm past that point. So I'll wait till my kid goes to school and then she can recite it back to me.
Nice.
That's smart. Nice. All right, speaking of being proudly Canadian, are you very proud of Canadian food? Because Nicole and I are, for lack of a better word, dumb. I say like ignorant.
Speak for yourself. I'm like kind of smart.
We don't know a ton about Canadian food. We don't get exposed to it, especially being in California.
I agree.
And so are you very passionate about it? What are your favorite things about it?
I'm incredibly passionate about Canadian food. I miss Canadian food. I long for Canadian food. I feel like there was more of a thread of Canadian dishes throughout the process of me putting my cookbook together that, yeah, I didn't even realize how much it had kind of like seeped into my DNA. I mean, obviously growing up in Canada, but when you grow up in Canada, you don't think of the food as just being Canadian. But now living in America, I'm like, oh, yeah, we do have all these dishes. Of course, first and foremost, the number one being poutine. Everybody loves them some poutine. If you're going to be you know, stumbling out of a bar at 3 a.m. in Toronto, there's many late night poutineries where you can have like so many different toppings. There's bad poutines out there as well, don't get me wrong.
The poutine at McDonald's that I had when I was, I've only been to Quebec, and that was when I was 19. Mm-hmm. I went with my best friend, and we went because we could legally drink in Quebec.
At 18, you can there. Yeah, you can get wild in Quebec.
Oh, it's great. We had such a great time. He got kicked in the head at a strip club and he got a concussion. It was his fault.
By who?
By the dancer. She was very athletic and she had a long heel on.
Notoriously, the best strip clubs in the world are in Montreal. So a little, the more you know banner can go up there.
Yeah.
Go up. Support your local sex performers, mm-hmm. folks. Be polite. Tip well.
Yes.
And we had a great time in Quebec. But the interesting thing, let's jump into Canadian strip clubs. I didn't realize that it was very different because there are no $1 bills.
No, our smallest denomination in bills is a $5 bill. So unless you're going to like flick a toonie at somebody, which is our $2 coin.
Flick a toonie.
Those kind of have a little bit of weight behind them. You don't want to flick a toonie at somebody and put a mark on these beautiful bodies. Of course not. So slip a $5 bill.
Workplace accident.
Which is kind of equivalent when you do, you look at the conversion of the money from American to Canadian. I think it kind of balances out in the end anyways.
I remember being like a little sadder looking at my bank account, just going like, crap, a little bit more than I wanted to.
Yeah. I've only been to Canada once. I went to Calgary for a wedding.
Was it beautiful? Calgary's really pretty.
It was gorgeous. Very green. And apparently there's a lot of cowboys there. Didn't see not one cowboy.
That's too bad.
The Calgary Stampeders?
Yeah. But I did go to Banff, and I had actually one of the best pizzas I've ever had at a Bison Pizza.
Incredible. You know what? I'm a big supporter of Bison. I cook Bison a lot. My husband loves Bison, so he kind of got me into that. But yeah, cooking with Bison is incredible. I mean, you don't just need like a lean beef. Give me some bison instead. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Hundo P.
I'd say bison has like a lot of roots in the bodybuilding community. I mean, your husband's a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is he eating bison just to stay jacked?
I guess so. Yeah. Because it's like a good lean meat when you want the different alternative and you don't just want like ground turkey or chicken breast or just having some other kind of like lean red meat. Bison is definitely the way to go. So we have it at home quite often. However, we are about to go up to my father-in-law's house and I think he's giving us some deer. So I have to know how to cook deer soon.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Milanese. You pound it out real thin. It's a lean meat.
Ooh.
Can't do a long cook. Tried to do venison ossobuco. Didn't work. Okay, hold on. Okay, back to ADHD. ADHD is firing. Too hard. Canadian food versus American food.
Okay, yes.
What we have done here, we have compiled a list of what we believe to be some of the top Canadian foods and some of their top American counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can go through this list and just hash out a little debate on which has the most merit. So I'm glad you brought up poutine. I would say the American version of poutine, chili cheese fries.
Boo.
Right? I agree.
Boo.
Chili cheese. Boo?
Boo.
Just immediate boo.
Boo Canada. They call boo her in Canadian.
This is why it's...
Sorry, boo.
it does not meet on the same playing field as poutine because poutine is all about the cheese curd. It's the curd. Uh-huh. You can't just have shredded cheese. That does not cut it in the poutine world. You need to have like the squeaky cheese. That poutine cheese, if it's, you can use like the curds from Wisconsin or something like that. Like that will put you in the right wheelhouse, but it has to be those curds that get like those big, chunky, pull apart, stringy cheese bits smothered in that hot brown gravy.
Why the hell can we not get cheese curds in America? Because that's,
I don't know.
I mean, like you said, you have the Wisconsin curds. That's the only thing. But even then, like no grocery store
Very
will actually
hard
have
to
it.
Find.
It's a
Very
delightful product.
Find. It
you,
is.
You
They're
go to,
lovely.
Lovely.
Culver's, the fast food chain that's from the Midwest.
Heard of it.
They make fried cheese curds at their thing. I think A&W also does that, the fast food chain.
Oh, hell yeah.
We cannot,
fried cheese curds.
Because we've struggled. We've tried to make poutine on the show, and we'll, like, use some low-moisture mozz that we cut into cubes.
It's not the same.
And we'll, like, kind of even lie and be like, cheese curd, like, product. And people are like, those aren't cheese curds,
Don't zoom in. It's a cheese curd. Yeah, it has to be the curd. When I was working on my cookbook, and I had to obviously put a poutine in there, I have, like, my, what's called the regular-ass poutine. And then I had the clam chowder poutine because I wanted to have like a hybrid of like, I couldn't just do like one poutine. I had to have two. So I did a clam chowder version, but I could actually find cheese curds at my local grocery store. And I was living in Las Vegas at the time. So they can be found. You can track them down.
Nicole, do you have any particular affinity for chili cheese fries? I got some thoughts.
Let me tell you the truth. I would prefer to eat poutine. Poutine?
Wow.
Okay, well, no,
oh my
let's,
God,
let's
no,
have...
you said it like beautifully. You said poutine.
Oh my gosh, there I go.
Girl. Okay.
Yeah, poutine is like, it's like a sexier food than chili cheese fries.
It's brown gravy. No, what do you mean it's sexy?
Gravy is hot and sexy and velvety.
And salty.
And the way, yeah, I like gravy fries and cheese. Like, that makes sense to me. I've never been a chili cheese dog or fry girl. Never like knuckles deep in like a plate of fries like that. I don't like that. Poutine is much better.
Yeah.
Okay, honestly, I'm on Canada.
I'm with Canada.
You're a Team Canada. Don't defect to Canada.
What do you mean?
When it comes to French fries. You go to Banff once and suddenly you're a Canada.
Wait,
defector.
Are you anti-poutine?
I actually am. This is the thing.
Hater.
So many people think that I would love poutine. I have an affinity for all the foods that are like poutine. I love fries smothered in things, you would think. But for me, there's something about the brown gravy, the cheese curd, and the fries. The flavors aren't complementary enough. And I don't even think that all foods have to have complementary flavors. But to me, it's just like fatty, salty on fatty, salty on fatty, salty. And so we both grew up in Southern California, and we have what are called asada fries.
Okay.
Where you go to a taqueria and they top... They top the fries with like the shredded yellow cheese that just melts into plastic.
Yeah.
And then you top it with carne asada, guac, tons of salsa.
Sour cream, for me, that's
just like it's exciting. You're talking about a sexy food, Nicole.
Okay,
that's a sexy food.
Well, I didn't even think about that. But now that you did that, I guess poutine is number two and the carne asada fries are numero uno, and then chili cheese fries can suck it.
I only had carne asada fries once and I got them from Del Taco. Where does that rank?
Oh, rough.
I think that's you gotta come to LA and try it with us.
That's the McDonald's poutine of California.
Honestly, the way that I look at it though is like I've never met a fry specific like a potato or a fry that I don't like. So no matter which way you dress it up, I'm going to eat it and enjoy it to some degree. But like I was saying earlier, there's the poutineries where you can add like Montreal smoked meat to it, or you can add those like typical nacho flavors on top of it. Add the guacamole, the sour cream. I don't know, cut up a hot dog, throw it in there. Add more salty, fatty things on there. The options are endless, but I am more of a traditionalist when it comes to my poutines.
I respect that. And I think because of the French and British influence, like in Canada, they take more care with their fries, too.
That's nice.
Which I really believe in. We should get the pronunciation thing out of the way because I launched in a full 8-hour rabbit hole on Twitter asking for people from Quebec, from France, and from America to pronounce the word poutine in their native like French cadence.
And you made me listen to it with you for a short period of time.
Because I had no idea that in Quebec, they pronounce
job.
It very hard, like poutine.
Yes.
Poutine.
And then in an American-born French speaker says poutine pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And then in France, it's somewhere in between. And so do I just say poutine?
I just say poutine. Because if I'm saying poutine, it's like, calm down. I'm not a French-speaking woman. I mean, I do speak a little bit of French, but it is not my native tongue. So I could slap a little poutine on there, but like, who am I trying to impress? So I just keep it poutine. In Toronto, if you're ordering it, you just ask for poutine. If I was in Quebec and I was like a couple cocktails in, I'd call it poutine.
Incredible.
It's like, it'd be even like carne asada fries instead of like,
carne asada.
It's like, listen, white dude, it's carne asada. You can just say it normal.
Same thing.
You're
exactly.
at Del Taco.
Yeah.
Okay. I would be willing to give... I mean, Canada poutine is so iconic.
Yeah.
You got to give Canada the win on poutine.
I'm going to give it to them because they deserve it.
Thank you.
All right. We're not keeping it an official track, but let's say it's 1-0. We referenced Canadian Bacon, the movie where John Candy wages war on Canada. Great film.
Love John Candy.
I think it got like barred from release in America.
Did it?
There was something about it. It grossed like $0. Anyways, go watch that movie.
Sometimes Canadians like we're big on like our own little inside jokes and either people just don't get it. Sometimes we just do it to laugh at ourselves. I think that movie is quintessentially that.
I love that. Also, the greatest piece of Canadian media to ever come out. One of the greatest sports movies of all time is Goon.
Oh, yes!
Goon's so great. This guy loves Goon.
I am absolutely obsessed with the Jay Baruchel. Anyways, Canadian bacon versus American bacon. Renee, can you enlighten us on what the hell Canadian bacon actually is? Because we have our Canadian bacon in America, and I don't think it has anything to do with the bacon in Canada.
It's different. So when you get, you call it pea meal bacon. So it's pea meal bacon in Canada. We don't call it just Canadian bacon. It has like this like cornmeal crust around it. It's just a leaner. It's more like a slice of ham. It's like if you, it was just like a ham bacon hybrid, but it's leaner than a regular bacon. It's not stripy like regular bacon. And it's more cylindrical. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's
yeah, cylindrical.
It.
Thank you. yeah, it's still is like that salty. You want to heat that baby up. It's great on a breakfast sandwich. Like it is breakfast sandwich friendly. It's already an English muffin shape. You've already got that circle
wow,
down.
She's really selling it.
It's great. No, it's very, very good. But yeah, it does kind of throw me off because I find if I order like Canadian bacon or buy it at the grocery store when I'm in America, it's just thick ham kind of, which like, yeah, it's fine. But I want that pea meal with that little bit of that cornmeal crust on the outside.
Mm-hmm. I never knew I needed a cornmeal crust on my cured pork products.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know if it's just because I'm hungry and I haven't eaten any food outside of the weird protein bars that we have in the kitchen.
Uh-huh. Sorry about
but,
that.
But I, no, it's okay.
Wait, you host a food podcast and you're slamming protein bars?
Yeah, yo, there's Cinnamon Toast Crunch protein bars,
oh,
though.
Oh, okay. All
right. Yeah, yeah. So it's like a little foodie, you know, like a little treat.
A little
treat.
Fair
but like pea meal bacon, that sounds really
delicious.
Good.
I just want to eat that with between two slices of bread.
Also, it's awesome. So what we call Canadian bacon in America, one, we have a propensity to just take whole animals and like shove them in a blender.
Sure.
And then like pipe their meats into little molds.
I mean, we kind of do too, but yeah, Canadian bacon, our pea meal bacon is more of a purist form. There's actually a really great market in Toronto called the St. Lawrence Market, and they do these like insane Canadian bacon breakfast sandwiches. Actually, Anthony Bourdain, when he did one of his episodes in Toronto, he went there and had it. And I'm sure the lines are still very, very long to get these St. Lawrence Market breakfast sandwiches because they're just incredible.
Maggie, what's our show's travel budget? Do we have a travel? Because like Bourdain had the Travel Channel budget. Do we have $60? Okay, we'll take a Greyhound to Reno.
Perfect.
I am not getting on a Greyhound with you.
Why? It's going to be
That's
rad.
That's the last thing I want to do.
Okay, do you have, you mentioned the term stripy bacon earlier. Is that popular in Canada as well?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it?
Just bacon. Just regular bacon.
Just bacon.
But then, so pea meal bacon, you don't use the term Canadian bacon at all.
Pea meal bacon. Yeah, I'm like,
pea meal bacon.
I hope I'm not lying, but yeah, last I remember being in Canada ordering breakfast there, it's been a minute. But it's like your options are like bacon, turkey bacon, sausage, pea meal bacon. So yeah, it would be pea meal bacon. We don't call it Canadian bacon. It doesn't. Yeah, that would be like redundant.
Yeah, we should say Renee is not a spokesperson for all of Canada. Canadian culture is not a monolith.
Of course not.
You know, diversity of opinion, diversity of opinion.
But she's here.
I'll wave that flag. I will wave that flag. But the second somebody comes at me for it, I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe I was wrong. I don't know.
Here you go. Yeah, I love streaky bacon, as some people call it.
It's a British thing, right?
Yeah,
streaky bacon? Yeah.
I do like American style bacon. But something about pea meal bacon sounds really attractive.
Yeah.
And I want to eat a lot of it.
I'm thinking about the taste of streaky bacon in my mouth right now and thinking about the taste of this fictional, mythical pea meal bacon that I've never had. And I want that pea meal bacon in my mouth.
Could you imagine just like being a person that doesn't eat bacon? That makes me so sad.
There's like so many people that do that. Like,
what a ruse of a life. No way.
Yeah, I know.
We are both disappointing our Jewish parents by eating bacon all the time.
Yeah.
So you're preaching to the
choir.
Sorry,
all of our halal listeners. We love you.
I'm trying to like, this is, can you guys see it? That's the pea meal bacon. Can you see the cornmeal on the outside?
I sure do.
It looks like a honey baked ham, like fell into a pile of dried leaves.
She's thick with three C's.
She's thick.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give away into this pea meal bacon, mostly because Renee's so passionate about it.
Yeah.
And I think
I didn't even know I was passionate about it until you brought it up. And here we are. You struck a chord.
I love it. I love it.
The Spork team tried 8 White Castle frozen products, including the sliders, of course, and ranked them all from worst to best. Check out the full ranking on Spork.com to find out what White Castle delights the freezer section holds. All-dressed chips versus, let's say, barbecue.
Okay, let's say.
Can you explain what an all-dressed chip is and why the hell it's called all-dressed?
So I will say this very confidently. All-dressed chips are the best chips you will ever have in your life.
Swing hard.
It is, there's not much sweetness to it. It's like an 80-20 savory to sweetness, but it's like a barbecue, salt and vinegar, I don't know, like almost like a little bit of like that ketchup chip nod. I'm glad that you said all dressed instead of ketchup as well. Like I love ketchup chips.
We were going
chips,
back and forth.
But all dressed chips to me are my jam. I can find them occasionally at grocery stores here in America as well. You might be able to get them in California because I know I could find them in Las Vegas, no problem. Yeah, it's almost like I can't think of what that other like je ne sais quoi is that makes the all dressed. Because I think on like the front of the package, it's like there's like a vinegar bottle, maybe like some Worcestershire sauce.
Beautiful pronunciation.
Thank you very much.
Very elegant.
Thank you. It kind of covers the spectrum of flavors, which is like very pleasing on the palate. I feel like your tongue is walking away very happy. Like you don't just have like a all dressed chip. And yes, we like Ruffles makes the best one. But when you're in Canada,
I was gonna ask you.
All the other brands that have them as well, whether it's like Humpty Dumpty. I don't think Lay's does an all dressed chip. But we have another brand that's called President's Choice, which is done at Loblaws. It's like their own brand. It's like their own grocery store. But they have the best flavors as well. But they do like loaded versions of everything. So you can get like loaded all dressed. So it's like really packing a punch.
Wow.
Chips are my passion. Chips are my passion.
One time we had old Dutch ketchup chips here, and it like ruined me for like all of the
my mouth is watering thinking about that because I remember the flavor of that so vividly.
The old Dutch,
they're
ones.
The best.
I'm like salivating. Yes. The glands are moving right now.
Me too. I feel like I'm drooling right now. The old Dutch ketchup chips are incredible.
Hot fire flames.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think Renee said it best when she mentioned the barbecue crossed with the salt and vinegar. Like that's what the all dress reminds me of a little bit.
Yeah,
but with some more savory aromatics in there.
I've had a few all dress chips and I like it, but I'm just not a salt and vinegar chip person.
Oh,
never
really?
Have been, never will be. People try to get me to like it. I just don't like it.
The amount of times I've seen you eat pickles from the jar straight up.
Wow, interesting.
That's because I love sodium.
Oh, yeah, the salt and vinegar. What?
Oh, my God. Honestly, bloat my face up with all the sodium.
Yeah, I don't care.
I want it all.
Yeah,
you just need like a salt lick, like a horse.
Yes.
Just kind of hanging from a little beanie in front of you.
Yes.
If it was
all dressed chip flavor salt lick, I could easily be convinced.
Yeah.
I would say, you trying to go in on a new business venture?
Especially if I have like one glass of wine, give me all the sodium. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I love sodium. It's so funny. But I don't know. Like my heart and soul just enjoys the flavor of a barbecue chip more. Mm. I could eat a bag of barbecue chips. I don't know if I could eat a bag of all dressed chips.
Interesting. This is where we flip.
What's your favorite brand of barbecue?
Kettle?
Yeah, Kettle brand.
Okay.
Kettle brand because they're thick and they have a lot of foldies and I love a good foldie.
Those are like a mesquite barbecue, aren't they?
I think they have like a regular barbecue one too, okay. But whatever it is, the orange bag I think is like the danky dink.
Oh wait, there was a new barbecue that I just had. Hold on, I gotta look up what it was.
I think it's the bourbon one. I think you're right.
Kettle Brand is one of those few brands that I'm like, I love this. I want to make out with Kettle Brand chips. The entity is how much I love those freaking chips. They just are so much better than every other competitor.
Yeah, the backyard barbecue is the dankness. They also have a bourbon barbecue, and now they recently have a classic barbecue as well.
There, also a Korean
have you
barbecue.
Guys had, there's the Cardi B Lay's chips that are cheddar barbecue, and they
not yet.
Are awesome. They're very good.
They're really good.
Huge
the wrap
fan.
Snacks, right?
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah. What do you feel, Josh? Are you BBQ?
I'm
too
Canada on this one. I think all dressed to me, it strikes the perfect balance between the amount of sour, the amount of sodium, and the amount of onion powder that I need in a chip. And I wish all dressed were more popular in America.
They should be more
popular. I think
we
need to make that pea meal bacon, all dressed chips, and we need cheese curds ready and available.
Let's cross everything across the border. Let's ship them all down. My mom will make us all care packages.
Hell yeah. Get your mom on the show. Where's your mom at right now? What's she doing? Call her.
She just went back to Canada, so she's... She's busy.
All right. Moving on. We got both Canada and the U.S. obviously very multicultural places.
Sure.
And every Canadian person I've talked to, which is to say two, there's that dude Early Pete on TikTok. We love Early Pete.
Okay.
And then that's it. He's the only Canadian I know. But Donaire apparently is very popular.
Yes.
And the thing that is uniquely Canadian in the way that, you know, certain taquerias are uniquely American and Californian in the way they've been influenced. So, Renee, can you tell us a little bit about Donaire?
So, Donaire, it is very popular in Canada, but it's more popular on the east coast of Canada. So, if you're going through New Brunswick, if you're in Nova Scotia, you're going to find, like, beautiful, amazing Donaire on, like, every street or, like, every corner. I'm not from the East Coast, so I can't speak to it as passionately as I can about the all-dressed chips and poutine. Our big thing in Toronto is like the street meat. Like our hot dogs crush a New York hot dog, crush a Chicago hot dog. They're very, very good. But I mean, yeah, with the donair, yeah, just give me that shaved meat that's hanging in the window. Slap a little tzatziki on there. It's excellent. It's very, very good.
Is it primarily Turkish immigrants? Because I know donair is a Turkish word.
I think so, but I don't know. This is one that I'm not confident to really go to bat for and say its full origin story. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Like, if you come to California or Los Angeles specifically, a majority of the sushi restaurants are owned by Korean immigrants who have, like, really put their own spin on it. And it's kind of created a, you know, microculture within itself. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to talk about, though, Toronto hot dogs versus L.A. hot dogs. Because L.A. hot dogs are something we're both very passionate
Danger
about.
Danger dogs.
What is the typical Toronto hot dog? Like, what makes it tick?
Here's the thing that I did not know that Toronto hot dogs were superior until I lived in New York. And everyone's like, oh, New York hot dog, tra-la-la, get some Nathan's. Nathan's can suck a big one. Am I allowed to say that on this show?
Yeah, well, you can say suck a big one. You can use as many gross sexual euphemisms as possible. Definitely.
Just can't say the F word.
Great. So I went and had Nathan's. I was like on Coney Island. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And it was like this like rinky dink little hot dog. It was like steamed in a tiny little bun that it didn't fit in. I want hot dog to bun ratio to be like ballpark style. I want it to be the like sort of a mixture between like a bratwurst and a hot dog. I want that to meet in the middle. And I feel like that's what Toronto street dogs do for you.
Interesting. What's the topping structure? Like what it typically goes on? Like in Chicago, if you put ketchup on a hot dog, you get stoned in the streets. Like what's the Toronto
equivalent? So I'm sort of a traditionalist in that like I just want ketchup and mustard, but it's like a regular hot dog cart where they've got all the fixings there, whether you want to add some banana pepper, some chopped onions, some sauerkraut. I sometimes don't even mind a little cheese, like just like throw a little cheese whiz on that bad boy.
Hell yeah.
I like that quite a bit too, but I'm not opposed to adding like a little bit of spice too. Maybe like some little like pickled jalapeno chunks, like nothing too crazy, but something that's like a little bit more of a mild little snap to it. I would like that.
Nicole, you want to give her the rundown on the LA Danger Dog?
Talk to me.
Is it a Dodger Dog or a Danger Dog? Because I say
dog.
Danger Dog.
No, Dodger Dog is specifically at the Dodger Stadium. Okay. Dodger Dogs are the worst hot dog in one MLB, two, the world. They are 0% beef, so Dodger Dogs are terrible.
I always go to Jeff's Gourmet, which is a little kosher hot dog section. But that's just me, because I don't want all the Dodger dog.
Yeah, but no, our version of a hot dog cart.
So after you go out clubbing or to a concert, there's like a bunch of carts outside, and then it's a bacon wrapped hot dog with a bunch of peppers and onions that are like being sauteed on the griddle.
Yeah, in the bacon fat.
Oh my God. In the bacon fat. Ooh. And then it's a beautiful bun that they just crack open, and I think mayo, ketchup, mustard, and then sometimes they put on like jalapenos.
Yeah, the grilled jalapeno to me is they'll just serve it with either a whole grilled jalapeno or sometimes
the
I feel
whole
like
grilled is
you can tell where the vendor is from based on the chili they're using.
Yes, you're the one who brought this up to me.
So I was eating a street dog the other day and they had like chile güero, which are like the softer yellow peppers. They're still really spicy and they were just cooking those in the bacon fat. Some will do serranos and it's like, you know, people don't think of hot dogs and they think of L.A. But for me, I'm like, listen, I've had all the street carts in New York. I don't care. They're all boiling the same crap.
Hot dog water. Agreed.
Yeah. And then you get this just, oh, the vegetables
griddled.
Cooked in the bacon fat.
Oh my
like you
gosh.
Said, you leave any event in L.A. and there are just 12 carts mobbing around. They're all just cooking them on a big sheet pan. And to me, L.A. hot dogs are one of the most underrated foods. And they have roots in the Sonoran dog.
Wait, what's the Sonoran dog?
Oh, give it the run.
So a Sonoran dog, it actually is more popular in Arizona, in cities like Tucson, but it comes from northern Mexico. They take a bolillo roll, which is like a big soft French roll, and they cut it in the middle. Then they put a scoop of pinto beans on the bottom. Then the hot dog goes on top of that. And then it's just no holds barred, forgive the wrestling terminology, when it comes to the toppings. It's like cabbage, pico de gallo,
avocado.
Salsa verde, avocado, crema, all that.
It's crushed chips, right?
Crushed chips? No, I think crushed chips are more of a South American thing.
Oh, my bad.
But it's,
I want to put crushed chips on it now.
I'm down. It sounds great.
Yeah.
So there's a really great, there's a great hot dog stand in Vancouver, and I don't know if they're just in BC or not, but it's called Jaffa Dog. And they're Japanese hot dogs, and they are insane. So you get them with like the Tobiko. You get some sesame seeds crushed on there. Some of the seaweed. What am I trying to say? The seaweed flakes, whatever those called.
Nori.
The nori
for a cook.
Yeah, you get like the nori crushed on there. But these are Kobe beef hot dogs, and they've got, you know, a bunch of different toppings. Even if you want to have like the crunchy tempura on top of it, like
you're killing me.
These hot dogs.
Dude, we got to get hot dogs for lunch.
Oh my God. I dream about these hot dogs. They are so damn good.
I need a freaking hot dog.
So damn good.
Oh, I forgot about those until we just started talking about them. And now I'm like, how can I get a flight to BC right now?
All right. As we approach the end of this feudal war between America and Canada, let's do like a little lightning round. I'm just going to start like listing things off. we didn't come up with a good versus with this, but we just don't know what the hell a Nanaimo bar. A Nanaimo bar. Nanaimo bar versus what do we put up against it? Almond Joy.
Mounds.
Screw it. Mounds.
Oh, I've got to go Mounds. I like Mounds. I think they're great.
Hell yeah.
Most people hate them. I think they're great. I love them.
Real maple syrup versus Mrs. Butterworth.
Come on. Get real. Real maple syrup all day long.
Give me the corn syrup.
No, sometimes I need the corn syrup because of the way it like seeps into the pancake or the waffle. I need
it.
Sometimes the maple syrup just like sloughs off and I'm like, what the F is going on?
Yeah, it can be a little thin and runny if it's not done right. Like I don't want a runny maple syrup, but having actually cracking out, like going to like a maple tree and like dropping that in like some snow and getting some maple candies. We're talking.
That's a flex.
Maple candies.
That was a
big flex.
Huge flex.
Yeah. I want to try that so bad, like right now. That sounds like so much fun.
It's really nice.
Tim Hortons versus Dunkin'.
Tim Hortons all day long. No question.
They made a buffalo chicken donut and I wanted to try it because it looked gross and I wanted it.
Oh my God.
And
I didn't get to. I've never even heard of that. I want to try that.
Cheesies versus Cheetos. What's a cheesy?
Oh, yeah, cheesies are our Cheetos. Same thing. God, I didn't even think of them as being different. So that being said, I've not had a cheesy in a long time. So I'm going to have to go Cheetos on this one because I just bought those not long ago. And man, did they hold up.
I've tried a cheesy. Actually, Jen, who was from Canada, brought them and they were good.
Yeah, she was
cheesier than Cheetos.
Arnold Carker was a yegg.
Cheesies.
Cheesies are really good.
She was from Edmonton.
I don't know.
I said yegg, does that mean anything?
Yegg. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I thought it was a slang for someone from Edmonton. I hope I didn't do a slur. I don't know. We cross our fingers now. All right. Finally, Drake versus Ice Cube.
Oh, Drake.
Defend that one.
Drake. No
what?
Question.
Okay. Wait. I have one. Celine Dion versus Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm done.
Y'all are crazy. No. Celine, she won Eurovision.
Who?
Celine Dion.
She won Eurovision?
I don't know. Isn't she from Switzerland originally?
She was born in Canada.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
You don't know what the hell you're talking about, man.
No, but I feel like there might be some truth to that. I feel like there's something with Celine Dion in Eurovision. Maybe. I don't know what that whole story is, but maybe. I'm also having like a little buyer's remorse on just like instantly throwing out Drake.
Yeah, I feel that.
We all have regrets about
Drake. I like said it and then it sunk in and I was like, wait. Can I read you that one? I think I want to go Ice Cube.
I do love me some Drizzy. I do.
I got to say, today, Nicole, it was a good day.
See?
All right, Nicole and Renee, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles,
eh? I threw in a little A there because people are from Canada and they also say Canada, not Canada. They say Canada.
Depends
Canada.
On where you're Canada. From. But yeah, that's like a West Coast Canada thing. Canada. Yeah, it's
Canada.
I've heard it. I know what you're talking about.
Am I erroneous for saying bud after
No,
everything?
That's accurate.
Say Canada,
all,
bud.
Yeah, the bud is very it. Accurate.
I'm bringing that to California.
Bud?
That's the
hey,
thing.
Bud.
I want to import pea meal bacon and all right,
and
bud.
Pea meal bacon and a Molson, bud. Let's go.
Oh, God. I drank so many Molsons. And I tried
Never
to order a Labatt Blue and people laughed at me because they're like, that's not real Canadian beer there, bud. Gotta get a Molson's extra dry.
Oh.
All right. We got at unknown and ireful. I don't know if it's a hot take, but a major food type that's uniquely Canadian is Chinese food.
Interesting. So, I mean, I feel like Canada is so multicultural. Especially, I mean, I can really mostly speak for Toronto because that's where I'm from. But Toronto's Chinatown is amazing. There's just so many great shops. Kensington Market's right there. So there's like really cool, like vintage clothes and really great food. Also, you know, adjacent to that, there's the Vietnamese markets, where they have like incredible pho that will like rock your world. But wow. Yeah, I think like the late night Chinese order for me, there was one spot, I'm going to draw a blank on the name of it, but I would always order this, this sweet beef. And it was like candied beef jerky almost. And it was just incredible.
Sounds incredible.
But I mean, I love Chinese food. I don't really care where it's coming from. I feel like you can't really screw that up. Give me some really great noodles. Give me all of the carbs. And again, hit me with that sodium. I love me some sodium.
All day,
amen,
every day.
Sister.
Yeah.
So, I mean, America has its own like Chinese-American food canon, right? Yes, like orange chicken is the big West Coast thing.
For sure.
That we all love. But I'm staring at a dish right now on the old computer screen called Quebec-style chicken noodles, and it appears to be soy sauce, chicken, and just straight-up elbow macaroni.
Oh, I've never had that. But elbow macaroni is a thing that's a weird choice there.
Yeah. Is there any Canadian link to the elbow macaroni?
Not that I can think of.
That's very so interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I think when you just, that seems like almost like a little lazy to me. They're like, well, I was going to make mac and cheese, but instead these are the ingredients that I have. So I'm just kind of working with what I got, and it tasted fine enough. So they kept going with it.
Respect the game. Respect the hustle.
All right. Next up, M. Barlow 092 says Montreal style bagels are superior to New York style bagels in every way.
I think I'm going to have to agree to this one. Montreal bagels. I'm not really sure what makes them so much more superior. Last time I was in Montreal, I brought some home for my husband. They were actually stale by the time I got them to him after flying. Mm-hmm. I think I went and did like a TV show and then came home, and we still smashed all of those bagels. Something about the way Montreal does it, because the thing too is like when you go to Montreal, it's like you have to have the Montreal bagel, but you also have to get the Montreal smoked meat. So if you can combine these worlds or hit up that fresh lox on a bagel in Montreal, and like you've never had anything better than that, like that really thin sliced, amazing smoked salmon. I'm so hungry right now.
I've been hearing a lot about Montreal style bagels, and it makes me want to just get on a plane.
They are really
good. I have a thought process on why Montreal style bagels, the three foods that Renee mentioned, the bagels, the lox, and the smoked meat, Ashkenazi Jewish traditions.
Yes.
Speaking as an Ashkenazi Jew, his family is from just the winters of Latvia, and all of our family dishes are like, well,
wait, what was the word you said? What was the word you said before Jewish?
Ashkenazi.
What's
so
that?
Like the Eastern European Jews.
Oh,
we would call like a white Jew.
Okay.
Whereas Nicole, your family is.
I'm Sephardic, so I'm from Iran.
Okay.
My family's from Iran.
Okay.
You gotta separate the different kinds.
/ Mizrahi. I get confused myself.
It's confusing. But my theory is that the Ashkenazi Jews felt so at home in Montreal, they were just able to do their best work.
Nice.
They were like, this is cold. It's like Latvia or Russia, Siberia. That I am in my natural environment to be able to make the best bagel possible with no distractions.
Nice.
No distractions from flying to Miami.
That's a storyline I'm willing to buy. I like that. It sounds like that could have been how it went down.
That's lovely.
Making up ignorant histories.
Love lox.
Yeah.
I do
have so much lox in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Costco and I go ham on the lox.
The most Jewish thing you can do in Southern California is buy a ton of lox from Costco. I grew up with it in the freezer, dude.
Lox is the best. It's funny because when I was pregnant, I got a sweet tooth, and I never have a sweet tooth. I am savory all day long because that used to be my regular, like, especially in a hotel. If you can order up room service with lox, like, good luck. That's my kind of day starter. But then when I was pregnant, I was like, I guess I'll just have like peanut butter or like, I don't know, like a strawberry cream cheese. It really made me deviate from my regular bagel game.
Wow.
Yeah. So I gotta get back in that the lox game.
Back in the lox game.
Hell yeah. All right. We got at Kalidas. No idea what this means. Garlic fingers need to be worldwide. How are they not? Renee, how are garlic fingers not worldwide?
I don't know what that person's talking about. Garlic fingers.
Hmm.
We need to Google garlic fingers.
Garlic fingers. I mean, that just seems to me like when you're cooking and your hands smell like garlic for like 2 days after.
Dude, no. Okay, so here we go. This is an Atlantic Canadian dish. Mm-hmm. It appears to be a type of Turkish bread that they bake cheese and garlic onto.
Oh.
And then they cut it into strips and they serve it with doner.
Oh.
And it's called garlic fingers.
Oh my God. Damn. So it's kind of like crazy bread, but like better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, this reminds me of, so we live in a really big Armenian area in California, and there's a lot of Armenian doughs that are similar to pizza. So a lot of Armenian people open up pizza shops and they'll call their traditional dish like kachapuri or ajarski is what it's called. And they'll just be like, breakfast pizza, because it kind of has pizza dough and there's an egg cracked on it.
Great.
And so this is like, yeah, this is like the Canadian version of breakfast pizza.
Interesting.
That's rad.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, I've never had that, but if I did, I would lean way into it. That sounds excellent.
We got to go
garlic
to St. John's.
Fingers. Yeah, St. John's
is John's
beautiful.
The city?
Yep.
What's St. John's?
St. John's, New Brunswick.
It's in the movie Goon.
What's
he gets,
oh,
he gets
oh sorry.
To
you guys are
St.
saying
John's.
Too many words that I've never heard before. All right. Jason underscore MCM underscore says, Coffee Crisp is the best candy bar, and Canada is being selfish, hoarding it all to themselves.
I agree. I love me some Coffee Crisp. So my dad comes down to visit from Toronto every October. We had to skip the last one or two due to COVID. So he just came this past trip. But apparently you cannot get Coffee Crisp in Toronto right now either. So he actually had my uncle in Edmonton bring me down.
Wow.
So I have like giant cases of like full size Coffee Crisp, but my dad normally brings it down at Halloween. So I get the little Halloween size ones, which then it's called Coffin Crisp. Very adorable.
Oh my God, that's so cute. I live for that stuff. I live for that cheesy stuff.
It's pretty cute. I like it too. I love that stuff too. So yeah, Coffee Crisp is good to me because I'm not a huge chocolate person. So it's nice that it's like these airy, light, you know, lightly coffee flavored wafers with a very thin coating of chocolate. So you're not like being inundated with too much chocolate.
You ever had a Coffee Crisp?
I have no idea what these things are,
I've
Nicole.
Had a Coffee
I'm
Crisp.
So, you've had a, what do you have a Coffee Crisp? Is that,
I don't know, but it's happened. And I've, oh, you want to know where I had it? There's a store in Los, it's, what is it called? Buzz. What is the candy store?
Rocket Fizz?
Rocket Fizz. Rocket Fizz has like international candies and stuff. And they had Coffee Crisp and it was so damn
I
good.
I think you can maybe even get it at World Market in their international.
Oh, that's good. That's
I
good to know.
Think.
I dig on Smarties and Maltesers. I get down with those. Those
oh,
are the
yeah.
only ones that I really
Oh my
know.
Gosh, I've
oh
not
my
had
gosh.
Smarties in forever.
Maltesers all day, every day.
But I like the American Whopper.
Love
I don't.
A nice,
I could not taste the difference.
Love a nice malt ball.
I do too. Yeah, me too.
All right, here's going to Renee. Part of the tagline of your book. Yeah, here we go. Plugging it without even being brought up is drinking copiously. So I'm curious about this because I have no idea what it means. At Pamela7Ann, ice wine is phenomenal. I don't care if you claim you don't like wine, you'll love it.
So ice wine will rock your world.
What is ice wine?
It's very, very sweet wine. Usually buy it. It comes in like smaller, like skinnier bottles than regular wine. But it's just, it's served cold. Obviously it's ice wine, but it's very, very sugary. So you want to talk about getting like a gnarly hangover. Do not go too hard on the ice wine. You got to mix it up. throw those Molsons in there. You got to bounce back and forth. Do not stick to just one or you'll have like a week long hangover if you just stick to the ice wine.
Yeah. You hydrate with the Molsons in between ice wines.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's
so
smart.
That's the move.
I know
yeah.
that game. Is ice wine like super kind of like purple and almost tastes like a Welch's grape juice? Is it Concord grape?
Kind of. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's very purpley and just like so syrupy. I've not had it in a long time. It's funny. I was like, so when we just moved to Cincinnati, I was like clearing out my fridge and I had a bottle of ice wine in there from ages ago. And I was like, I guess I should probably toss that now. No one's going to be drinking that. No one actually drinks ice wine either, by the way. Like, I don't, maybe like, I don't know. I think if you like, I think the people that are drinking like boxed wine at home might have ice wine as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, part of our Jewish faith insists that we drink a product called Manischewitz, which is, it sounds like it's basically ice wine. It's Concord grape wine that is kosher.
Mm-hmm.
And like literally, since we were 7 years old, you grow up like drinking little sips at the Passover table.
We had the grape juice version. You guys were partying hard.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We were going hard. So I feel like that's more Jewish-Canadian crossover. We're not so different, Renee, you and I.
Here we are.
last opinion. Will be ew_that's_gross. Beaver tails are just churros that someone ran over with a truck.
Beaver tails are fantastic. They are, it's like, I mean, it's a bear claw, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right? I've seen them before.
They're like, it's, yeah, it's like a squished, like, cinnamon roll or something, kind of. It's like, I've not had a beaver tail in ages. We used to go, this sounds like very Canadian, but we would go to my aunt and uncle's in Ottawa, and we would go skating on the Rideau Canal. And when you are skating on the Rideau Canal, you can stop because they've got beaver tails. They've got like the little like huts set up along the way. And it's been probably 2 decades since I've done that. But mm-hmm. that was probably the last time that I've had a beaver tail. But yeah, it's like a nice, warm, sugary pastry. They're very nice.
We call these elephant ears.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Well, but like they're served at like state fairs in places where we didn't grow up.
Oh,
like Rhett and Link in like North Carolina, be like, oh yeah, those are elephant ears.
Oh yeah,
and they're great.
That sounds like that could be a thing. Yeah, that sounds accurate.
I like these because they're a boat. They're a boat for delicious.
They are
sweet things.
Yeah, it's a vehicle for yeah. You want to add some more syrup on there, a little powdered sugar. You want to slap a little whipped cream on there. Dealer's choice.
Good old fashioned American Mrs. Butterworth syrup, as we all agreed, is the best. And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog Is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef. Or Nhendizade with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
For more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube, where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your phenomenal Canadian dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
Renee, thank you so much for joining us. You're obviously very passionate about your home country of Canada. We will learn the national anthem if you
I'm gonna
learn
listen
ours.
To it after this.
Done. Done and done. We'll have to circle back. I would also just like to tag on that if you guys are being tagged in Canadian food, I would like people to tag me in that as well, because mm-hmm. I would like for to sure. be a part of everyone's Canadian culinary journey. So tag me at Renee J. What is my Instagram? Renee Paquette. It's just my name. Tag me at Renee Paquette. I almost just gave like my full email address thinking that's what it was.
Hell yeah. No, please. I mean, tell people where they can find you, what things they can buy. We're all trying to get people to buy things. So tell them where they can buy your things.
Yeah, buy my things. Listen to my things. You guys can buy my cookbook. That is on, you can get that on Amazon at Barnes & Noble. Just search Renee Paquette. It's called Messy in the Kitchen. My guide to eating deliciously, hosting fabulously, and drinking copiously. I have my podcast, Oral Sessions, that drops on Tuesdays and Thursdays everywhere that you listen to podcasts. And I also have my XM radio show with Misha Tate called Throwing Down with Renee and Misha. That is Mondays on Fight Nation Sirius XM.
Hell yeah. Renee, you rule. Thanks so much
Thank
for stopping by.
Thank you so much, Renee.
Thanks, guys.